You're listening to Boat Radio. I'm Mike McDowell, and this is The Wheelhouse. My guests today are an award-winning filmmaker and one of her subjects. Christine Knowlton is a digital artist and video producer based in New York. Matt Chow, who lives in Boston, is, among other things, a sailor. And Matt features in Christine's new film, Sense the Wind. Now, the title of the film is key, Sense the Wind, because Matt is blind, and so are the other three sailors who are central to this remarkable documentary. Matt, when did you start sailing?
I started sailing when I was a student at Perkins School for the Blind back in 71, 72. At that time, it was an experiment. We went over to one of the public sailing centers in Boston called Community Boating Incorporated, and they had a bunch of sailboats, and some Perkins students were handpicked to go, and I was one of them. And I liked it, and I thought, well, you know, it was interesting. It was a lot of fun. And then I went off to college. I went to Brandeis University for 4 years from 73 to 77. And then back in 1979, the Carroll Center for the Blind, which is a rehab facility in Newton, which is where I live, Massachusetts, the director of the Outdoor Enrichment Program by the name of Arthur O'Neill was starting a sailing program. And I thought, oh, I did some sailing a while back. I think I'll try it again. So what happened was I started sailing with Arthur, and I've been sailing ever since.
Were you born blind or did you lose your sight?
I was born blind. I was 2 months premature. Had a condition that basically ruptured the optic nerves in my eyes. They gave me too much oxygen. At least that was the source of the problem at the time. But since then, they found out that they don't really know what caused it. But the results were the same. I was totally blind from the beginning, you know, from birth. I can see light and dark and maybe some shadows, but that's the extent of what little vision, if you can call it that I have. So I basically have light perception in my right eye and can see absolutely nothing out of the left eye. It's all, and even if you look at it, people tell me it's all cataracts. So I've never had vision in the true sense. So basically, yes, I was blind from birth.
Christine, how did you first get involved with sailing?
Well, I came from a family of really more canoeing experience, but you know, my first experience was with a sunfish in a lake. But then I had friends and family who had a motor sailor, and I would sail on Concordias. But it was my children grew up sailing, and in college, my daughter became a racer, and it was really kind of being exposed to that and hearing about really undersea, being around competitive sailors, it was like a whole new world to me. And being in Newport was just so exciting for the collegiate women's nationals. But I'm not a racer. I'm an armchair sailor more, or a willing crew. But Matt actually challenged me to, before I finished the film, that I should learn to sail and to sail blindfolded. But I can't say that I've succeeded at that so far.
How did you first meet Matt?
Well, as soon as I decided to kind of investigate the world of blind sailing for the project, it was really Betsy Allison, who is the head Paralympic coach, who kind of gave me the lay of the land and said, okay, you've got to talk to Arthur O'Neill at the Carroll Center for the Blind. And Matt Chow is someone you definitely should follow, because he's really been in it probably the longest, in terms of being at the center of the sport in the U.S., and Boston has really been the hub, the Sail Blind program. So I knew right away that Matt would be a character, and he is well-spoken, and was just very excited to be part of the project.
So you sought Matt out after already deciding to pursue this film. So how did the Sense the Wind project come about?
Well, as my daughter, as I mentioned, became a college sailor, and her team, she was at Northwestern University at the time, and the sailing was a club team, and they made it to the Collegiate Women's Nationals. And I, you know, was able to kind of tag along and hang out, and went to the awards ceremony. And Betsy Allison presented a slide presentation on adaptive sailing. And I was just very moved by it. I had never imagined that, you know, people in wheelchairs or limbs or with different disease processes or blind could get out there and seriously compete. And when she mentioned blind sailing, it literally just like the light bulb went off. And I just thought, oh my God, like I need to understand this. I want to meet these people. So now, you know, 6 years later, you know, I've got the film finished and I have like an amazing world of new friends.
It is amazing, actually. So, Matt, let's find out a little more about you. I want to try to understand why you do what you do. You were a competitive athlete from a young age. Later, at university, you were a wrestler and a runner. Neither of these pursuits, track events least of all, I would have thought, are suited to someone who cannot see. And yet, not only did you run and wrestle, but you made the teams. I mean, you were good. And by that, I don't mean that you were, you know, you were good for someone unable to see. You were just good. So what I'm getting at is this. You are not an ordinary person, and it's not your blindness that makes you unusual. That's just an obstacle you have to overcome. What makes you unusual is that you are driven, and I want to ask you, what is it that drives you? What makes you put yourself in harm's way?
Well, what drives me is that, number one, is I have a passion for whatever I get involved in, be it sport or be it academic or career pursuit. And minor correction is in that I wrestled on the Perkins School for the Blind wrestling team. I didn't do that in college, but I did continue my running while I was at Brandeis. And I would run upwards of 50 to 60 miles a week, and I'd run with a sighted guide, another runner. And what would happen is he would hold on to my shirt, or we'd use a rope, and we would run 6 to 10 miles that way, and get up at 6:30 in the morning, go run 5 miles, go to breakfast, go to class, go to lunch, and around 2 or 3 o'clock, I'd go down to the gym and run another 5 miles with one of my friends, and then on the weekends, I would get into road races through the Cambridge Sports Union, Cambridge, Mass., which is a running club, and I had friends there. And at one point, I qualified for the Blind Olympics, the Paralympics in 1976, but I got an injury from running, of all things. So I couldn't run. I fractured one of the bones of my ankle, so I couldn't run. But as it turned out, once I recovered from that, I actually had better... Believe it or not, I had better road race times after that. And there was a point where over 3 weekends, I was taking a minute off each time that I ran on a 5 mile course. So that's how I get into running. And then I basically stopped that because it just got too tough to run on the roads with all the potholes and, you know, much ankle spraining material. Just wasn't worth it. So sailing is a lot more of a, it's still a challenging sport. It still can be physical, and it's also an intellectual process because you have to do a number of things all at once for a good result. And I guess being driven has a lot to do with being if you're going to do it right, if you're going to do whatever it is, do it right or don't do it at all. And I inherited that from my parents. I'm Chinese by ancestry, and a lot of the culture that I, you know, came down from my mom, was passed down from my mom to us, you know, the brothers and myself and the family. And of all of those things, the most important thing was do a quality job. Don't futz around. Don't do it half-assed. Do it right. Mediocrity doesn't cut it. Just get on with it and do the best you can. So, part of that's the main thing behind being. The other part of it is, yeah, I want to challenge myself, whether I'm, regardless of being blind, and I want to see how far I can get. Sort of like pushing the envelope, because what's the point if you just sit around?
Are you more driven because of your blindness, do you think? Does it make you want to prove yourself among sighted people?
Well, part of what I do is educational in terms of my sailing. There is a prove it issue. In rehab, they would call it overcompensating. But it's when you're passionate about what you do, you don't really think about that. You think about doing the best you can, and the disability becomes secondary. If I'm out there sailing, whether I'm sailing against other blind sailors or sailing as the only blind skipper in a sighted fleet, I'm going to do my best regardless of where I am, because that's the important aspect of who I am and what I do.
You're listening to Boat Radio. I'm Mike McDowell. My guests today are filmmaker Christine Knowlton and Matt Chow, who is blind and who races sailboats. Matt is one of the subjects of Christine's documentary, Sense the Wind. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll find out how a blind person sails a boat.
Our aim at Street Invest is to put a trustworthy adult into the lives of street children so that they can support them in creating the most positive paths for their lives in the future. We work around the world, working on the street with the children where they are. For such a large group of children, the amount of funding available is tiny. Really, the funding that keeps organisations like Street Invest going comes from individual donors. Street children are the most abused, neglected, violated children, yet they're also the most resourceful, responsive, and resilient children that we could have the honour of working with.
For more information or to make a donation, visit streetinvest.org.
This is Boat Radio. I'm Mike McDowell. I'm talking to Christine Knowlton and Matt Chow about the documentary Sense the Wind, which is about blind sailors. Christine, did you have any difficulty persuading Matt or any of your other subjects, for that matter, to agree to be part of the film?
No, all of the sailors, and sighted or not, especially the blind sailors, were very eager to support the project. They really want their stories, their accomplishments to be shared. The blind community is often not noticed, and clearly people don't know that this exists. They don't know what kind of sports people are capable of. So everybody really was excited. There was only one sailor who said that he would help in any way, but did not want to be featured on camera, which was funny because he's a very handsome, charismatic person who does public speaking, but he just, for some reason, didn't want to be a character. But the funny thing is, he did make it into the film and was on camera on the dock and was the one featured going overboard. So in the end, he was in the film. But the four characters that I ended up following really have been incredibly supportive and become very close friends and continue to in these screenings to be part of the Q&As and really want to help, get this film out.
So what's the story of Sense the Wind?
Well, Sense the Wind is a journey that follows four sailors really over 4 years, going through practices to the blind nationals, and then, the couple that make it to the blind world championships in Japan. But it really takes you into this unique sport, but into their lives, because it spends, you know, the film is really on and off the water, and the sailing is something that really is woven through throughout the film, because it's really what has connected these people, and it's a story of empowerment. And through facing challenges in lives and continuing to adapt. So it really is a message that reaches to anyone.
Matt, tell us about Courageous Sailing.
Courageous Sailing Center is a public sailing center in Boston. It's on Charlestown Wharf. It's right near the USS Constitution or Old Ironsides, which is the oldest serving warship in the U.S. Navy, if not the world. And basically what that center allows us to do is they have a fleet of J-22s, which is a one design class boat, which we sail on once a week for practice. And it's enabled us to prepare for the Worlds and for U.S. Blind Sailing Nationals. And it's also enabled me to participate in mainstream, what I call mainstream regattas.
Do you sail in standard boats or are they adapted?
No. These are boats that everyone else would sail. There are no adaptations made. I've sailed everything from, you know, J-22s, Rhodes 19s, even had a chance up to a Swan 36, even had a chance to briefly drive Weatherly, which is one of the America's Cup boats that's, you know, old retired boats, and Easterner. And the difference is that those boats have a wheel versus the smaller boats, which have a tiller with a hiking stick. And I was able to make the transition from tiller to wheel and back. And so, and they're different. There's a different feel that you get from driving a boat that's got a wheel versus one that's got a tiller. But when you have enough depth of experience and having sailed on a number of boats, You can pretty much figure it out, but it takes a little bit of time.
And how does it work? I mean, presumably you have a sighted person guiding you. I mean, you're driving the boat. You're steering it.
Oh, absolutely. I drive it. I sign for the boat when I take it out. What happens is that we have, in fleet racing, we have a crew of two sighted sailors, guides, and two blind sailors. The sighted crew, one of them is the primary guide. He's the one who, or she, calls the tactics, tells the helmsman how to steer, when to tack, when to jibe, when to bear off, when to head up, when to duck a boat. And I can tell you that when we are in close proximity to other boats, we're not talking about 10, 12 feet. We may be talking about, in some cases, a foot and a half or less. That's the caliber of sailing that we're at right now. I've sailed in sighted fleets where we'll duck a boat, and I'll, you know, where we cross someone's, we go past someone's transom, and I'll say, "What was the clearance?" And they might say, "Oh, about a foot or so, maybe less." It's good because it tells me a couple of things. Number one is my sighted guy trusts what I do, and number two, I'm able to steer to that degree of quality that's required in racing. If you're gonna, you know, if you're gonna play, you're gonna have to play hard, which means you gotta be competitive, which means you gotta practice, which means you gotta up your game all the time. So it's like, oh, good, 6 inches to a foot, that's great. It might scare the hell out of somebody else, but as long as you don't collide, it's like no harm, no foul. What's the big deal?
I want to cut in there and ask you this next question. Sailing in a race can be a pretty nerve-wracking experience for people who can see, you know, crowded starts, tight turns, close proximity to other vessels, crossing the paths of other boats. Do you feel that fear, or is it the case that you don't fear what you cannot see? And if so, is that almost an advantage? You know, the most fearless helmsman in the fleet is the one who can't see when he's cutting things really fine, so he doesn't lose his nerve. And I wondered, does that maybe allow you to concentrate better on doing a good job?
Well, that's a pretty complex question. Well, it sort of goes like this. I believe in the philosophy of train like you race and race like you train. So I've been doing this for almost 37 years now. And when you've gone race after race after race with with the same guides or people whom you trust, you get used to those tight starts, people yelling and screaming. and it's, you know, it's, you can't go in there. I mean, a typical thing will be you go to a start line, you're about a minute from the start, all these boats are converging on the line at the same time. People try to get into tight spots where they really shouldn't be. And there's a lot of yelling and screaming, and we have ways of dealing with that. If I have a leeward boat yelling at me, my guide might say, don't listen to them, listen to me, just to maintain focus. Once you're racing and in that kind of sequence, what you do is you selectively, or at least I selectively tune what I hear in and out. Oh, okay, next item. How are we doing on boat speed? And there are ways by listening that you can tell if your boat speed is good. Okay, oh, there's a boat that's rolling over my hip. Why is he doing it? Why are they going faster than us? People are yelling and screaming at marks. You know, after a while, you become used to it, like everything else. And the advantage of not being able to see is that I'm not distracted by things such as looking at other boats, looking at telltales. My guides do that. Looking at sail trim, because a lot of that comes down to boat feel. And the sighted guides tell the main sheet trimmer how to trim to basically tweak our boat speed. So, you know, being blind is it cuts out a lot of the visual distractions, and you learn to overcome those fears. You just get used to it. Now, where it does get scary is if my guide might be yelling, tack, 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 and you hear this other boat's bow wave, and it's coming closer and closer, and it's like, are we going to clear this guy or not? And, you know, when there's a collision, that's when it gets pretty hairy, because for a couple of reasons. Number one is you don't want anybody hurt, and number two is how much is the yard bill going to be?
Well, that's a comprehensive answer to what was a complex question. Christine, what strikes me watching the film is the lack of fear shown by your subject. At one point, I think, Nancy tries to step onto a boat from the dock, and somebody has to explain to her how far away it is. But she already had one foot in the air before she received the instruction. She was impatient to get onto the boat. And even walking around on a stationary boat, it's possible to trip or simply step overboard. I mean, did you find yourself thinking, wow, these blind sailors appear, you know, alarmingly reckless?
You know, that thought never occurred to me. The idea of them being reckless, I've never seen that. These people are way too smart, and they're too skilled, and they make very good decisions based on the information that they have. You know, that doesn't mean that there isn't fear sometimes or reticence. I mean, Nancy, in that case, it was a little hard to perhaps hear, but it was actually her that said, oh my God, it's so far away. She, because of her eyes working independently and not being able to focus, she couldn't tell how far away the boat was. And for her, that slight distance off the dock was very scary for her to step across. And I watched that, and it was kind of mesmerizing when I started filming, and I really didn't even know her at that point. But I just saw once she was on board, she was in her element. But crossing over and not being able to really know where your foot is being placed was very frightening. Now, on the other hand, kind of following up what Matt was saying, your question about not being able to see, is that, you know, an advantage? Or, and Nancy actually, you know, believed that it was less frightening to not know what was out there on the race course than to see it. So in that case, and she felt also that being blind, you don't judge people by what they look like. You're not, that it's really a very different kind of experience in the way that they interact. So she felt in some ways that was an advantage for her.
Did you ever feel sorry for Matt, Philip, Nancy, and Inky?
No, I mean, I I think not in that way. I never felt sorry for them because these are very confident, empowered people. I've met people when they came out of, like, Matt was born the way he is and just forged ahead. You know, it's very different than someone who has sight and loses it, whether it's an accident or a progressive loss. For them, it's a very different kind of thing. I never felt sorry, but I heard the stories and I thought, oh my God, like what they, some of these went through. It's really was powerful backstories. But what I saw is strength from them. I mean, it's not to say it's very difficult to get around being blind. It takes someone else to drive you. And you have to live in an area where there's transportation provided. So people in rural areas or who don't have family or spouses to take them to practices, to regattas, to get to these meetings and events or to fundraise, you know, it is that much harder. But I think it's hard for everybody, you know, to do those things. But it is a more complicated, it's more complicated logistics when you don't have sight and you can't get your drive yourself.
You're listening to Boat Radio. I'm Mike McDowell. My guests today are filmmaker Christine Knowlton and Matt Chow, who is blind and who races sailboats. Matt is a central character in Christine's documentary Sense the Wind. It's time for another short break. When we come back, I'll be asking Matt to explain exactly how he goes about it. How does he sense the wind?
I'm John Herlig. In Postcards from Sea, I tell stories of my travels aboard Ave Del Mar, my 1967 Rawson cutter. I deal with serious nautical issues like how to sail your mast into a tree on a canal, what kind of incense best covers the aroma of kimchi fermenting on your boat, or whether or not I can beat a leukemia patient at a video game. It's simply the story of my life, and my life happens to take place on a 50-year-old sailboat with no particular destination in mind. I hope you'll join me and some of the wonderful characters I meet as I travel for my show, Postcards from Sea, every other Monday here on Boat Radio.
Time goes forward, go and catch your jet, you will find your moment. Time goes forward, stay and have a sneeze, let's dream about the future.
This is Boat Radio. I'm Mike McDowell. I'm talking to Christine Knowlton and Matt Chow about the documentary Sense the Wind, which follows blind sailing teams. Matt, I asked Christine if she ever felt sorry for any of her subjects, if she ever felt sorry for you. And that leads me to a question about political correctness. I live in Mallorca, but I'm from the United Kingdom, where a great deal of effort is made to avoid using terms like disabled and blind. We're meant to say differently abled. Instead of blindness, we say visually impaired.
Well, to me, it's nonsense. I'm a straight-up kind of guy. I don't believe in political correctness. I think in this country, it's gone way over the top. You know, to be honest, I'm blind. That's it. I can't see. That's the nature of things in my world. Sometimes I will say I'm a person who is blind as opposed to a blind person. You know, because sometimes people identify you not as a person, but as disabled first, and then oh yeah, you are a person. But you know, as far as I'm concerned, this whole thing of political correctness is a bunch of crap. You know, call it what it is. I'm blind. End of story. You know, and I see my being blind as a speed bump to a lot of my objectives. Yeah, it really stinks that I can't drive, and you know, I'd like to be able to go where and when I want to go, but you know, after living this way for 62 years, that's the way it is.
I'm just jotting down bunch of crap.
I mean, you know, for your Perfect. Audience, if it weren't for a mixed audience, I would really tell you what I think. But the fact of the matter is, I think that whole thing's overblown.
I feel a sense of relief talking to you about it. Christine, let's talk logistics. Filmmaking is not an easy thing to pull off at the best of times. Cameras and water, sound equipment and water, these things don't mix very well. How difficult was it to make the film? I mean, we're talking about relatively small boats with limited space. How did you manage to keep from getting in the way?
Well, there were various techniques, and with filming races, you know, it's different if you're on a Volvo race, ocean race boat, and they have, you know, a huge crew and a lot of people that are just ballast, but you can't have an extra person, you know, on, you know, in the middle of a regatta filming, you know, the boat. So we were, the only times that we had a cameraman or even a sound person was really either in a practice, like we set up, or early in the sequencing to get some quick, tight shots. But most of the filming was done either from chase boats, different kinds of chase boats, getting as close as we could with very good cameras and skilled crew. And we also used onboard mounted cameras with a self-leveling gimbal mount that allowed different views and synced sound that was recorded. Two people would be recorded at a time on the boat. One would be the sighted tactician, and one would be our character that we were following on that team, whether it was the skipper or whether it was mainsail. But we had lots of different cameras set up, an incredible amount of footage. Yeah, we used GoPro and we used contour cameras. And there were different kinds of mounts that have been created. You know, they were custom made, not for me, but by someone that I hired. And then sometimes the characters would wear camera, but not if they were in any way a danger. You can't have somebody wearing a head camera who's ducking under the boom. You know, so safety was always a concern of what, you know, what was appropriate in that instant. But we set up sails where we just shot point of view filming just for that purpose, to create effects or to use, you know, to cut in for editing. So we had a lot of different kinds of footage on the water.
Watching these teams in action at close quarters, two sighted people and two blind people, were there moments when you just thought, wow.
I think for me, one of the most amazing moments, which is in the film, is when one of the sailors, Mark Boss, just fell overboard going around a mark. It just, you know, and we happened to be in like an incredible position, and I had a very good cameraman, and Schwem lens. So we got some good footage of that, of him falling in, and they did not lose a beat when they came around that mark. And before you knew it, he was up and back in that boat, and they kept sailing and they placed. And I just watched that going, and another boat was coming towards them. And it was just amazing, the athleticism and the confidence and the drive to just, like, they're not going to stop. They're just going to keep going. So that was pretty amazing to watch.
Did you find yourself thinking, actually, sighted sailors could learn a great deal from the way Matt and his fellow blind sailors
use their remaining senses and the way they communicate? The Olympic teams and college teams and even some high school teams blindfold their sailors when they're in practices. I just heard this last night at a screening. One of the high school sailors said, oh, yeah, sometimes they'll blindfold one of us. And to just experience it differently. And sometimes it also is to prompt better communication between them. Because one of the college coaches that was a U.S. sailing coach at an event said that they tend to often scream at each other so much when they're college teams that by blindfolding them, it just changes the dynamics and makes them work differently. So it really is about communicating, listening, feeling, and trust with your team.
So Matt, let us in on the secret. I know you've developed a technique for doing this.
Well,
how do you sense the wind?
Basically, there are a number of ways to do that. For example, when I'm sailing upwind, I can feel the breeze on my face. And when it changes in terms of, It can change in terms of velocity and angle. So, for example, if I'm sailing a steady course, let's say close hull, and the wind starts, let's say I'm on starboard tack, and the wind starts to move to the left on my face, I know I'm getting headed, or as they say in Europe, knocked. So either I do one of two things. I either tack, in terms, if I'm racing, you do the tactical thing. If the header is too quick, or what I will do is bear off to compensate for the breeze doing that. If I get lifted, which means that on a starboard tack and the wind is going more to, or as they say, the wind is going right, it's going farther back on my face. And what I'll do is, oh, that's a lift. So I compensate by heading up to take advantage of that lift. Downwind is a different story altogether. You basically reverse what you're doing. So if I'm on a starboard jibe or a broad reach, I know that the wind is like at 10 or 11 o'clock. If I want to be dead downwind, I know it's at 12 o'clock, so it's blowing equally across both sides of my face. If it's by the lee, 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock, it's like one of a couple things. Yeah, we can do this, or no, we can't. Or C, oh, crap, and I got to head back up because bad things will happen. Especially when you're driving with a chute, you got to be extremely aware of what your apparent wind is doing. Especially since that you can either A, damage a chute, or B, bend the pole, neither of which are good, and another yard bill. Thank you very much. Not the other. The other way I can sense the wind is I know my boat speed is good. If, let's say, I'm sailing again up on starboard, which is where I like to be. Nobody likes to be on port because they're the disadvantaged boat in a race. The reason, the thing about sailing upwind, the other way to tell that I have optimal boat speed is that on starboard, for example, is I can, if the wind is above roughly 12 knots and I know the boat, let's say a J22, I start hearing rhythmic waves to leeward. If I start hearing those, that's the bow wave plus what I hear to leeward. If those waves are consistent, then I know that there's a good shot, chance that my boat speed is good. I can verify that by asking my guides, are the telltales streaming? And if they are, if they're straight back, again, that further confirms that my optimal boat speed is there. The other thing, and if the heel is too much, I know that there's a good chance we'll be side slipping, so we have to compensate for that. So it becomes a multi-sensory experience. It's not just feel, it's also listening, and a lot of it comes from depth of experience and using your gut to figure out what you need to do.
Can you describe for us the feeling you get when it all comes together, you know, when the boat is squeezed like an orange pip between wind and water
first
and
of all,
surges
it's,
forward beneath
I know
you.
I'm doing something right and that my crew and I are doing something right. And secondly, it's a hell of a rush because we're right on where we're supposed to be. And the third thing is it's this sense, it's exhilarating, to put in one word. It's a lot of fun. I sort of liken it to what a fighter pilot might experience when everything works. But being a fighter pilot without the arrogance. The sailing culture is one of those things where you don't need to describe your exploits. People in the community already know who you are and what you do. They're good operators and they're bad ones. And the guys, the racers that I know in the mainstream community, as well as the blindness community, they're very quiet about what they do, and you find out about them when you get out on the water. Oh, yeah.
Have you had any mishaps?
I actually did go overboard once. I've had maybe one or two collisions in my career. The little bumps don't really count. I mean, there are times when you're at the leeward mark and the wind stops and you're real close and you just like rub sides. Well, there's nothing you can do about that. But I have gone overboard. One time I was actually on a Viper 640, which is a high performance sport boat, which I love. It's a great boat. And we were changing positions, approaching the weather mark. And in fact, we were in second place. Well, I moved back and I sat down on the hull, and instead of sitting on the skid-proof part, I hit the slick part, and I slid off the boat, and when inverted, I hit the water head first. I could feel the water go by as I hit the water. Went down about 6 feet, popped up, and I was basically swimming. Of course, I was wearing a life jacket, and aside from my ego being bruised, nothing else happened. I was just mad as hell because we went from second place to last because I fell in.
You're listening to Boat Radio. I'm Mike McDowell. My guests today are filmmaker Christine Knowlton and Matt Chow, who is blind and who races sailboats. Matt is one of the subjects of Christine's documentary, Sense the Wind. It's time for another short break. When we come back, we'll talk about inspiration and the notion of role models.
Our aim at Street Invest is to put a trustworthy adult into the lives of street children so that they can support them in creating the most positive paths for their lives in the future. We work around the world, working on the street with the children where they are. For such a large group of children, the amount of funding available is tiny. Really, the funding that keeps organisations like Street Invest going comes from individual donors. Street children are the most abused, neglected, violated children, yet they're also the most resourceful, responsive, and resilient children that we could have the honour of working with.
For more information or to make a donation, visit streetinvest.org.
This is Boat Radio. I'm Mike McDowell. I'm talking to Christine Knowlton and Matt Chow about the documentary Sense the Wind, which is about blind sailors. Christine, in the film, which I should point out is great, I've had a sneak preview, Philip describes how he is sometimes asked, "What's the craziest thing you've ever done?" And he says, "I race sailboats." And he explains that people are shocked by that because he's almost completely blind. So while making this film, did you encounter people who couldn't believe that blind people can sail competitively?
Well, when I've talked about the project and people ask me what it's about and I mention the words blind sailing, there is this incredulous, you know, response. They're kind of, you know, mouths open, their eyes get big. But I don't think anybody thinks they can't do it. It's just something that people haven't thought about, and you just kind of immediately want to know more. I think when Matt is very much about inclusion, and he's, you know, experienced some of this early on when Paralympic physically disabled or challenged sailors were starting to be at events. The Robbie Pierce Regatta brings all different kinds of sailors together, and the U.S. Disabled Championships. And there was definitely a learning curve and building trust and understanding between the different types of disabilities and the different rules that then would be in place, where the blind sailors are allowed to move back and forth across the boat, whereas someone who's, you know, in a wheelchair is strapped into one side of the boat in one position. And there was, of course, some fear of when there's 21 boats at a starting line and you have seven of them with blind skippers. There was definitely some people that thought, you know, I don't think we should be doing this together. How can they do this? They were nervous, but the blind sailors proved themselves. They proved their skills and they gained a tremendous amount of respect from the other sighted disabled sailors.
Watching Sense the Wind, I found my spirits lifted. I found it a very positive and enriching experience. Was it your sense before you even started filming that the end result would be inspirational?
Well, it was. I really went into it I wanted to make a positive film. I wanted to really highlight the amazing things they did. I wasn't trying to do anything to ever make it look like they couldn't do this. Of course, like anyone who is racing or sailing, accidents happen. Of course, there were more mishaps, you know, over those years. But we, in the editing, we didn't want to over-exaggerate that. We wanted it to just be in there because that's reality. People get hit by the boom. People fall off boats. They sometimes crash. I mean, that's what happens when you're in tight quarters. But I wanted to show that they can do it. And so it was always really to highlight and to tell an empowering story.
Matt, are you happy with this position of role model? Are you comfortable being the person from whom others draw inspiration?
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't, in many respects, I don't consider myself a role model to the extent that, you know, this is my passion. This is one of the many passions I have, sailing. And if I'm a role model, it's secondary to, you know, my passion for the sport. That said, I do see what I do in terms of sailing, not just a heck of a lot of fun, but also educational. It's a means by which you can educate people without hitting them over the head and saying, well, this is what so-and-so can do even though they can't see. You just go out there and do it. And in fact, I actually heard a story years ago about this woman in New Zealand who's legally blind, who was a sailor, was in a mainstream race, and one of the racers saw this woman sailing, and one thing led to another, and out of that, this woman got a job. When you consider the fact that the unemployment rate in the United States is between 70 and 75% for folks who are blind. And then you look at New Zealand, where the unemployment rate may run as high as 90%, 90%. That kind of impression is huge. And if one person gets a job because of what they did out in the sailing arena, more power to them.
Would you hope to inspire other people, both blind and sighted, to take up sailing?
Absolutely. Sailing is one of the sports where you can do it as hard or as easy as you want. The guys who race, if you look at the sailing population in the form of a pyramid, the guys who race are at the higher end of the pyramid or at the pointy end of it, and the folks who do recreational sailing are the bulk of the sailing community. I also sometimes like to say that, liken it to it, that we're at the tip of the spear. We're the guys who take chances. This is a contrived stress kind of event. You know, we know it's going to be stressful racing. We know there's a certain amount of pressure. But when you've done it for a long time, you're accustomed to it. It's part of the fun. It's part of the experience. I for one, could not see myself just going out for a sail one day just to sail around the harbor. I have to be doing something. And there's got to be some excitement in it. And, you know, it is sort of an adrenaline rush.
Well, this is your competitive nature. This is what we were talking about earlier. It's not blindness that makes you different from the rest of us. It's that you're such a driven individual.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I guess you could say I'm a competitive person who happens to be blind. And blindness sort of, you know, fuels that to some extent. But, you know, my whole family has been competitive, not in the sports sense, but in terms of academic pursuits, in terms of work, that's where their competitive spirit is.
So you're a family of high achievers.
Absolutely, definitely. And I was just a product of that.
Christine, have you had any interest from television? Will we be able to see Sense the Wind on Netflix anytime soon? And if not, why not?
Well, we're currently, the film is in the festival and preview phase in outreach. We've been pitching to broadcasters and are seeking more international contacts. We do have interest from an international distribution agent, and it's under consideration with the WGBH, World Channel. And hopefully we'll get it to Japan and to, you know, other places in Europe. But it is still early because we're still in the festival phase, as I said. And in August, the film is playing in the Rhode Island International Film Festival in Newport, which is very exciting. And it's a very high-level Oscar qualifying festival that will help draw more attention to the film.
But it's mostly U.S. festivals.
We've also played in Poland. The film played early after it was completed at the Maritime Yacht Film Festival in Poland. And then it actually played some other outreach areas, and it's played in Canada and in Moscow at a sports film festival. So it is getting out there, but it's kind of hard to keep up with all the festivals and the outreach and the pitching. So I'm kind of working on all these at once right now.
So if someone wants to see Sense the Wind, they need to go to the website and find out where it'll be shown next.
Yeah, that's right now. I have a calendar on the website, but it's really more regional screenings as I can take them out with like filmmaker previews, which is followed by a Q&A. And when I can, I bring, you know, get some of the characters or other sailors as part of it. But it's strategically, we're rolling it out in phases. But I would really love it to be fully released by the end of the year, but it's going to depend on broadcast deals.
Matt, what's next for you?
Basically, what's happening now is I hope to sail in more regattas this summer. Also, I've started doing match racing through Homeris, which is a means by which you get around a course. It's boat on boat, like America's Cup, where you have audible marks and that you navigate to get around the course. And the reason I'm doing that is because there's a lot of carryover between what you learn in match racing and how you can apply that to fleet racing. I'm primarily a fleet racer. That's basically when you have a number of boats racing against each other, competing against each other. And there are a lot of political/philosophical questions about blind match racing, but that's beyond the scope of this discussion. But I am learning to do that because it's another challenge. If I could fly airplanes, I'd love to do that. If I could do sail planning, hey, you know, there are ways to adapt a number of things. And the only other thing I'd like to see is the Google car become more available and more ready for folks who are blind to be able to get around. That would solve our unemployment issue, because the biggest problem is getting from place to place. So there are a number of things that I'm open to in the future. You know, so as I said, I always like to push the envelope.
Christine, give us all the details. Where do we find you and this wonderful film online?
We do have a calendar of screenings that are on the Sense the Wind website. That's sensethewind.com, all together, no space. And so I do keep that up to date. The screenings are regional. But I hope by the end of the year that the film will be publicly released and have distribution in place and be available on VOD. But it's not yet at that stage.
Christine, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today. I have seen Sense the Wind, and it is absolutely tremendous. I would recommend it to anybody. Matt, it has been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. I hope that when we next speak, it is about your exploits piloting a plane or a glider. That would be wonderful. Thank you both very much indeed.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.